We left off last week on Gimel Amud Aleph, six lines on the top. Abai Yomar. Just to review again, there's a problem in reading the Mishnah. The opening Mishnah says, Hakol Shoftim, sounds like Lechatzila, we allow everyone to Shecht, not exactly everyone, Goyim Shecht, Shechikos, and Avela. That means someone whom you would have thought shouldn't be permitted to Shecht, it's not so. The Mishnah is alluding to some specific person. So we allow everyone to Shecht Lechatzila, then it says, Shechikos and Sherech. And other people, there's only good B'riyevet. So it starts off lechatchila, then it ends off b'riyevet. So what's lechatchila? What's b'riyevet? So first thing Gemara gave one suggestion, that it goes on the tomei. The tomei shecht and kachim lechatchili shouldn't allow tomei to shecht kachim because the concern shema yiga bebasar. If the tomei will touch the flesh, he'll make it possible. but hakol shecht and lechatchila means. We would permit the Tomei Lechatchila to Shech Behemas Kulam. What's the Chiddush? Of course, he's permitted Lechatchila to touch the flesh. No, we're talking about Kulam Shinaso HaParis HaKodesh, talking about people who live in Yerushalayim and near Yerushalayim. So they're in the practice of eating Besar Korbanos very often. Either they're Kohanim and they eat Besar Chatos V'Yoshom, or they're the Yisraelim and Levim and they eat Besar Shlomim. So as by way of practice, even when they eat Besar Chulin, even they eat Chulin, they always eat Chulin Al Taras HaKodesh. They practice on the Chulin to treat it as if it would be Kodesh, to make sure that when they eat Kodeshim, they shouldn't eat anything from it. So the Mishnah says, even though Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh, there is such a practice, either it's a minig or it's a din de Rabbanon, it's unclear what the nature of this Indian is, but Tameh is permitted Lachatchila to Shech, the Bama school, because no tragedy will occur. The worst thing that will happen, the Tommy will touch the flesh. So this person won't eat it. Someone else will be allowed to eat it. He won't be allowed to eat it. Fine. So that was the first shot that the Gemara gave. It was that was Rabbi Barula. That was 10 lines on the bottom of base and base. Rabbi Barula, he gave his whole shot. So now the Gemara is going to continue with other Amorim. Each Amor is going to give a different interpretation, different suggestion, what the Mishnah is referring to. Abai Yomar, that's 6 lines on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph. Abai disagrees with Rabbi Barula. He thinks Hachi Katan. Mishnah means like this: Al Kol Shochtim Afilu Kusi. Kusi is a historical Maisa in Tanakh. Kusa was a city in Chutz Loretz, and one of the kings moved the whole group of people from the city Kusa to Eretz Yisrael. And they were up the Avodah Zarah. They weren't Jewish, and they continued to practice the Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. So all of a sudden they were attacked by lions. That's not normal. Lions don't roam. Lions are in the African jungles, but there are no lions in Eretz Yisrael. So the whole thing didn't make any sense. So they understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elokei Yisrael, is the God of Eretz Yisrael, so they better convert to become Jewish. But the whole conversion was just, it was a gir shalei ka'alacha. There was no kabbalas on mitzvahs. The pasuk says they were afraid of the God of the Jewish people because they were being attacked by the lions, but they continued to worship the Avodah Zarah. So the conversion that they did satisfied the lions. The lions stopped attacking them, but it didn't live up to the halacha. And the gir shalei ka'alacha said they were blamed gemur. There's nothing to discuss. That's called geri arayas. If one converts because of the pachad of the lions, arayas alayas, the geri arayas agoyas. Then there's another gemara in Yevamos. So the Gemara has a machlokes satanayim. If a non-Jew converted and he had some ulterior motive, he wanted to marry a Jewish girl, or the girl wanted to marry a Jewish boy, he wants to get a job in the Israeli army, against why he wants to get a job in the Israeli government, and they won't let him in the army or in the government unless he's going to convert. He converts based on some outside consideration. So the Gemara has a machlokes satanayim whether the geiris is chal or not. So some tanaim hold that the geiris is only valid, the person is only Jewish, it's only a valid conversion if the motivation was l'shem shemayim. If what motivated them to convert. And there the Gemara comes to the conclusion, we pass the halacha that geiri arayas, even though he was motivated to convert because of the lions, it is a good conversion. There's a hastira. The one Gemara says that the kusim were geri arayas, they only converted because the pachad of the lions, so the geris was meaningless, they were going gemurin, and this Gemara has a machlokes satanayim. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that Geri Arois are Jewish. So Tosfos answers. Tosfos on our daf explains. Tosfos on Gimel on the base. The Ramaskol Kosovar. So Tosfos explains here the same Tosfos appears in Nesukah and Yevamos and other Mesitzes. So Tosfos explains two kinds of Geri Arois. If the motivation to convert was not pure, motivation was not the Shem Shemayim, though being attacked by lions. And they made, not that they researched the Jewish religion, they were just the pachad of the lions. They said, hey, we better convert or we're going to get killed. But then, because of this pachad, so they accept upon themselves to observe all the mitzvahs of Torah. Right? So then we pass on Allah, what do I care what motivated you to convert? But there was a Kabbalah on mitzvah, so the conversion is valid. Mashani came to Kusim, their conversion never had a Kabbalah on mitzvahs. The Pasuk says in Malachim, Tosfos quotes that Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Malachim, they continued to worship the Avodah Zarah. Es Hashem Hoyu Yireim, here it's in Malachim Beis, chapter Yudzayim. Es Hashem Hoyu Yireim, they were afraid of the God of the Jewish people. They assume he's of Kehar. It's Vesalahim Hoyu Avodim. They still continued to worship Avodah Zarah. Because there never was a Kabbalah on mitzvahs. We'll get to that later. That's way, way later. So that's what the Gemara understands. The original conversion of the Kusim was certainly meaningless. They were Geri Arois, it wasn't valid at all. But then, over the years, the Tanaim saw that the Kusim are observing a lot of mitzvahs. They were observing Torah Shebichsav, and they weren't observing Torah Shebaal Peh. So they're trying to figure out, where did it come from that they were observing Torah Shebichsav? Is it just by osmosis? They lived in Eretz Yisrael, and they saw the Jews be keeping mitzvahs. So they also picked up, originally they were worshipping Avodah Zarah. There was no Kabbalah on mitzvahs at all. Is it that later they saw the Jews were keeping a lot of mitzvahs, so they kept some of the mitzvahs, but they never converted a second time. And their initial conversion was not valid at all, so they're still going to Murim. Should be assumed, no, that should be assumed. It must be the fact that the Tanoim see that they're keeping mitzvahs, at least some of the mitzvahs must be. We should assume that they probably converted a second time. And the second time there was a Kabbalah on mitzvah, that there were Geri Emes. The second conversion was Geri Emes. So that's a Machlokes HaTanoim. So we pass from Halacha, the original Geris of the Kusim that's recorded in Malachim Beis, that was Geri Arayas, there never was Kabbalah on mitzvah, they were going Gemur. At some later time in history, we don't know how to pinpoint it, where it happened, when it happened. We assume that they must have underwent another conversion, because they were keeping mitzvahs. So they were Geri Emes. And then the Gemara is going to tell later on the next daf, on daf, hey, the Gemara is going to say that Meir sent some of his students to check to see what's going on by the Kusim. So they told him that some of these Kusim were still worshipping Avodah Zarah on hag reason. So Meir was Geiser that they have the din like Goy, Gemur, and Mechal Devren. They have a din of a Goy, and that's the question, what do you mean he was Geiser? Are they Jewish or are they Goyim? So that's a big machlokes in Rishonim. Did Rav Meir have the authority to declare that since they had floated away so far away from mainstream Judaism, that some of them still worshipping Avodah Zarah, they're sitting in Sukkah, they're shaking the lulav, they're like mitzvah, they're keeping a lot of mitzvahs in the Torah, but they're still worshipping Avodah Zarah at the same time. So is it because a group of people who float away so far from mainstream Judaism, the Chacham have the right to declare them? You've got to figure out where's the pasuk. They have a right to declare them as going good. They lose their status as being Jewish. Or maybe it only means they were goyzer ka'akum l'chol devem l'chumre, like a Jew who's mechal Shabbos din kindochri. That means he's not a goy. You can't sell your chalitz to him. He's Jewish. If I'm a barber and he comes in for haircut, I'm not allowed to shave off his payas. He's a Jewish person. I can't use him as my Shabbos goy. He is Jewish, but we shouldn't permit him to shech the behema. We shouldn't allow him to be the chazan in the shul. Because we treat the mummer, dina ka'akam, the chumer, but not l'kula. So that's... Oh, the original pasuk is by the Aseres HaShvatim. That's the Gemara at the end of the first parak in Yevamos. Gemara says, the lost 10 tribes intermarried, and they assimilated, and totally, it's very hard to ascertain who's really a descendant from the Aseres HaShvatim. So what if you can't ascertain this person's mother's mother, all the way back, was Jewish? So would you say that this person, 10 generations later, this person is Jewish? Because his mother's mother, all the way back, was Jewish. So the Gemara says, the first opinion of the Gemara, yeah. And if a goy is Mekadosh and Ishiv, his man is a non-Jew, gives a ring to a Jewish girl and says, I want to marry you, you have to be chayshish. Maybe this guy is from Aseres HaShvatim. Maybe his mother's mother, all the way back, many generations back, was Jewish. So, Akam Shekidish Bizman Azeh Chayshishim Lekidushin, Shema Me Aseres HaShvatim Hu. Then the Gemara says, we don't accept that opinion. We paskin based on the pasuk in Treyosar, Bashem Bagadu, they rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kibonim Zorim Yalodu, they intermarried, and Shoyin Ois, they're not Jewish at all. Bein Lahakul, Bein Lahakmer. So that's it.
They're not coming back already.
That's the question. The Tanoim have a machlekes and Derek Chelik. It says, who has a Chelik? Alamabo, who does have a Chelik? So the Tanoim have a machlekes, but the Aseres HaShvatim, should you assume they're going to be Chayzer B'Tshuva or not? So how does that compare with this Gemara? Well, the Gemara in Yevamos, at the end of the first page, ignores that whole discussion. That's a discussion in the days of the Tanaim, but the Aseres HaShvatim are going to return back to the fold of Klal Yisrael. And this Gemara is a discussion about Maraim, and they don't refer back to these Tanaim. So that's a big question in the Mefarshim, the Rishonim, on Perek Chelek, on the last Perek in Sanhedrin. How do the two Gemaras jive? That's a problem. That is a problem. Some of them certainly will come back. The question is whether they're all going to come back. Yep. You know, we're not sure. So the original pasuk about the Aseres HaShvatim, we assume the Gemara's lesson is Lazazel Misham. They didn't budge from the spot. Achasom Akum Gemurim Lechol Devarim. They declared that Aseres HaShvatim, because they intermarried and they assimilated, they didn't keep any mitzvahs at all. Even if you can ascertain his mother's 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 mother, 10 generations back, was Jewish, they have the din bein l'kula bein l'chumer, they're considered goyim. If they want to become Jewish, they have to convert all over again. You need mamish, a geirus with a bracha on the tefillah, on the milah, everything like a regular gear. So that's how we assume there. Here the Gemara says, Rav Meir sent some of his talmidim to snoop around to investigate what's doing by the kusim. The Kusim, during his lifetime, were keeping Torah Shabbat pretty well. In certain aspects of Torah Shabbat Peh, they were observing other things they were not observing. The mayor sent some of his students to investigate, so they discovered that some of the Kusim, not all of them, some of the Kusim, most of them were not the Avodah Zarah. Some of them, during his lifetime, were worshipping Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara has the expression, Rav Meir was Geyser, the same expression, Lazaz and Misham, they didn't budge from the spot. So, the simple translation of the Lashon sounds like it's the same as Aseres HaShvatim. And the Pasuk that the Gemara quotes in the end of the first Perek in Yevamos, Hashem Bagadu, Kiborim Zarim Yaladu, that they lose their Kedushas Yisrael if they totally assimilate, and they don't act like Jews at all over a couple of generations, that they totally assimilated. So the same applies to any group of Jews, like the Kusim, any other group, who float away so far away from mainstream Judaism, that the Chachamim in that generation can declare that they have the din of the goyim. I think the Reform went further than the Kusim ever went. But the mazel is we don't have any rabbinical body in our generation who's interested in declaring the Reform as Akum Goyim B'chol Devarim. But the Kusim are very religious compared to the Reform movement. So that
you said the second Kabbalist, the second Geirus, even in the same Geirus, they weren't the Kabbalah Tereshul Peh. So they weren't like that's a Kabbalist whole business. I mean, it's different than the Aseres HaShvatim. Aseres HaShvatim was Jewish to begin with. Here we want to be with Kabbalah as Jews, so it should be tougher.
Avada. If a ger comes and we ask him, do you accept the Torah Shabbat? He says no. So then you can't accept them. And if you accept them, it's not valid. But over here, they didn't ask so many questions. Some Torah Shabbat they did observe. Other Torah Shabbat they didn't observe. The Torah Shabbat that they did observe, the Gemara says, Hadim Medakta Gimbo Yesem Yisro. They were very consistent. So whatever they observed, they were very medactic, more than the average Jew. And other parts of Torah Shabbat Peh, they were lax. They didn't observe. So that's the Shaila. That was the Machlokes Satanam. Should be assumed that there really was a second Geirus, Kedas V'Kalach, and then it became lax in observance of Torah Shabbat Peh. It should be assumed there never was any second Geirus. Just by osmosis, they picked up. They saw the Jews were keeping their mitzvahs, so they decided to mimic some of those mitzvahs. So we assume that that's a historical Machlokes. We assume historically that Geri M is saying that there was a second conversion, The second conversion was kedashik did, and then they became lax regarding the Torah Shabbat Peh. Then they were negligent. They didn't keep everything.
Haven't the Rabbanim done with Beta Yisrael or the Ethiopians looking back several generations did something? No, the Rabbanim Beta Yisrael.
What do you say about what?
Was it Beta Yisrael or the Ethiopians looking back? If they had several generations back in the
Some of the Chacham Avadia said that the Ethiopians, he thought that they were Jewish. Most of the Rabbanim thought they were not Jewish. Something.
They're born in Eretz Yisrael?
Yeah.
Sure.
Must assume that they're Suffolk Jews, Suffolk guys. If they're Vaday Jews and they didn't observe the laws of Gittin properly, then they're all Suffolk Mamzer. If they're Suffolk Jews, then there's room to be made. Kol Mitam Sfek Sfek, and maybe he's not Jewish. And if you're not Jewish, it's not being a Mamzeris. And even if he is a Jew, maybe he's not a descendant of those people who were born after a second marriage. So if you treat them as Suffolk Jews, Suffolk Goyim, then you have to be Megayer them, like the Suffolk Goyim. But that'll solve the problem of Mamzeris. That's 2 days in Tosfos. A Sfek Sfek is Mutam in Atorah. So Tosfos in Ksubos in the first paragraph has two opinions. Is there a Chumra mid the Rabbanan? Do you say, my loss of the Yuchsin? Is there a chumim in the rabbanon not to allow, not to be makel on a mamzer if you have a steak steaker? So the minig aposkim is lahakel, like that opinion and Tosfos that steak steaker lahakel even applies to mamzeris. But we don't say my loss of yuchsin so far. We would be makel with steak steaker. Anyway, this was the original pasuk. Hashem b'agad the kibarim zarmi alod. The original pasuk goes on aseres hashvatim. And we pasken a nachri shekidish bizman hazeh. A non-Jew goes over to a Jewish girl, says harem kudeshus, he gives her a ring. Ein choshishim lekidushim, because the aseres vashvatim lost the kedushas Yisrael. And that's the machlokes harishonim by the kusim. Whether when you say Rab Meir was gozman the kusim to have a din of akum, it's only lechumre. Then you don't allow him to shech, and he can't be the shliach tzim. He can't be mitzar from the dominion. But you say, even Lekula, you sell your chametz to him, and you can use him as the Shabbos guy. Because the pasuk that's written by the Aseres HaShvatim doesn't only apply to the Aseres HaShvatim, it applies to any group of Jews who float away so far from mainstream Judaism, and the Rabbanim of their generation determined that they floated away too far, so then they lose the Kedushas Yisrael and Ganzen. Then there's even a third opinion that based on that pasuk in the Trei Osa, Hashem b'gog the kibarim zarim v'lado, that any Jew who converts to another religion, individual Jew, not only a whole group like the Kusim, any individual Jew who officially, if you have a Jew, doesn't keep anything, he becomes an atheist, but he didn't officially convert to another religion, so that's Yisrael afal pi shechata Yisrael hu, even though he doesn't keep any mitzvahs at all, he still retains the kedushas Yisrael. You can't sell your chametz to him, and you can't use him as a Shabbos guy. He's still Jewish. What if he converted to another religion officially, Hashem Bagadu? So that's the Shita Sagainim was. There's in Yerudei and Hilchos Geiris, they quote from I think it's Masecha Sofrim, if I'm not mistaken, that if a Jew became a Meshumet and then he wants to be Chosid the Jew, he wants to become Jewish again, so you have to undergo Geiris, you have to be Tovel him in a mikvah in the presence of a Bezin. So this is quoted in Yerudeya, and the Taz adds on, he already had a bris when he was born, many years ago. So he says, what if the bris was done by Psul, let's say a goy, he comes to convert, and he already had a circumcision. So there's nothing to do a bris milah about. So there's a machlokes hatanah, we pasmas, you need hatofas dan bris. Machlokes of Rishonim had a pasmas. We are machmas that you need hatofas dan bris. So the Taz adds on, when you have a Jew who became a meshumet, and wants to be chosid of a Jew, wants to become Jewish again, so the Yerudei only quotes from the Masech and Sofrim that he has to be toivel in the mikvah in the presence of the Bezin. Never says he needs Atovas Ambris. The Taz has that on. They has to have Atovas Ambris also. So that's a Machlokes HaGoinim before the Taz, way before the Taz, before Rashi and Tosfos. Many of the Goinim were of the opinion that they're the ones who wrote the Masech and Sofrim. Masech and Sofrim is not for the Tanoim, it's not for Namaraim. It's written in the days of the Goinim, written by the Goinim, Eretz Yisrael, Morgan Abram points out. Masech HaSofrim is a collection of brises that were composed by the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael. The Goyim in Eretz Yisrael, Goyim in Bovel. That's why we don't always follow what it says in Masech HaSmachas and Masech HaSofrim, because it's written by the Goyim, it's not by the Tanoim, it's not by the Amoraim. So many of the Gaonim were of the opinion that a Jew who converts to another religion officially loses his Kedushas Yisrael, and he has to undergo Geiris Min HaTorah, not just the Chumrah Min HaRabbanan. We generally don't accept that opinion. We say that that pasuk in Treyasa that says Bashem Bagodu Kidvarim Zarim Yelodu, that the Aseres Hashvatim lost the whole Kedushas Yisrael Ben Hocha Ben LaHachmer, that's only on the Aseres Hashvatim, a whole group, or maybe by the Kusim and Tzemach Lekis HaRishayim. But by an individual Jew who converts to Avodah Zarah, we don't assume that he loses the Kedushas Yisrael. But many of the Goyim assume like that, that the requirement for the Geiris is really Menater. So here the Mishnah talks about a Kusi Shushachat. The Mishnah talks about Kusi Shechting. After Rav Meir was going to Dina Ka'akum, Rav Meir declared that all the Kusim should be treated like non-Jews. So the Shechita is no good, so there's nothing to discuss. This Mishnah was written before Rav Meir. It's an old Mishnah before the days of Rav Meir, from earlier generations. So the Tanoim assumed that the Kusim are Jewish, that Kusim Geri am the same, and if they shech the Beim, it'll be a kosher Shechita. The question is, though, but the Kusim, we're talking about the Kusim in the days of the Tanoim, didn't believe in Parash Baal Peh, in HaShemayim, and in Yeridei it says that one who doesn't believe in Torah HaShemayim is Dina Kapikoris, Apikoris, Dina Kinochri. And then it says also, it says in Hilchos Tam Yenam, it says that if a non-Jew handles wine, he sticks his finger into the vat of wine, so he makes all the wine trace. So not only if a non-Jew sticks his hand in, even if a Jew who's an Eved Avodah Zarah, Dina Kakum, sticks his hand in also. Even a Jew is Macham, not only a Jew who's Eved Avodah Zarah, there's a Chashash maybe when he stuck his hand in and he handled the wine, maybe he had a mind of the shame, Nisuch for Avodah Zarah. What if it's a Jew who is Machal Shabbos B'Fahesya? He doesn't worship Avodah Zarah. So that's a big machlekes in the days of the Rishonim, and we machmer on that in Shulchan Aruch. We machmer that a Jew is Machal Shabbos B'Fahesya Dinikin Nochri, and he asks his wine by Magoi. Then the Machaber writes in the name in Hilchos Tam Yein, he quotes from the Shulchan HaRashbo, if you have a Jew who believes in Torah Shibachsab and Hashemayim, but he doesn't believe in Torah Shibalpem and Hashemayim. So it says also Dinikin Nochri, and he asks his Yain by Magoi. So that's what all the Mefarshim is. The Kusim didn't believe in the days of the Tanaim, even if you assume that Kusim Geri Emesim, but the Kusim didn't believe in Torah Shibalpem and Hashemayim. So according to the way it says in the Shulchan Aruch, is Dina Ka'akum Lechumra, not the Kula Lechumra. So how can it say that Shchitosek Sheira? It should be Dina Ka'akum. So the Chazon Ish talks about this in his Sefer on Yerideya, in Siman Beis, and he has two answers. He's not sure himself what the answer is. In the text of the Chazon Ish on top of the page, he gives one answer. Then in the footnote on the bottom of the page, he's not sure he gives another answer. So one answer he gives is that the only time we say that one who doesn't believe in Torah Min HaShemayim is Dina Kapikoris means that he came up with this Chiddush. He was given a proper education, and then he rejects the whole tradition that he had. But if he's already a second, third, fourth generation Kusim, by the days of the Tanaim, they're already later generations of the Kusim. They weren't the ones who rejected the religion. This is the way their parents educated them. They were given an improper education. They were brainwashed to believe that Torah Shabbat is not Min HaShemayim. So since it was B'shoigeg, so you can't say Dina Kakum. This is one suggestion that the Chazon Ish gives. Yeah, but this is questionable. Let's say a Goy who shechts a behemoth. He really wanted to be Jewish, but by an accident of fate, he was born to a non-Jewish mother. But it's not his fault. He really wanted to be Jewish. You've got to say, well, it's not his fault. It's B'shoigi Goyness. So if he shechts a behemoth, it's going to be good. He's not Jewish, he's not Jewish. So if you say that one of those who believe in Ikari HaAmuna is Dina Ka'akum, so why does it make a difference whether B'shoigi Goyness is? So that's a big question in Yerideya. The Shach in Yerideya discusses this halacha. The Apikor is Dina Ka'akum. Is this a din minator or is this a penalty midirabon? So if it's only a knas midirabonon, the Apikor is Dina Ka'akum, so then it makes sense to distinguish. Is in Apikor is the Nezer and Apikor is B'shoigi? So then you can say the Kusim that the Tanoim are talking about, that Shchitosem Kshera, if someone else is watching the way the Kusi Shech Shchitosem Kshera, but they don't believe in Torah Shabbat Pena HaShemayim. So you can say, but their kfira, their apikorsis is b'shogeg, it's not their fault. They were given an improper chinuch by their parents. So the penalty of the rabbana doesn't apply. But if you hold that apikorsis, dina kakum is a din deraisa, it's not a penalty of the rabbana. You have to be Jewish and you have to believe in Ikari Hamuna. So whoever doesn't believe in the Ikari Hamuna, and then it's crucial to determine what are Ikari Hamuna. How many Ikari Hamuna are there? So we assume, like the Rambam, there are 13 Ikari Hamuna. He has to believe in Torah Min HaShemayim, not only Torah Shemitzvah. He has to believe in Torah Sheba'al Peh Min HaShemayim. So we say that even Mishegeg, also, if it's a din deraisa, Ikari Zina Ka'akom, so even if it's Mishegeg, it should also be a din. So what kind of a teretz is it? Why do we say that the shkita of the kusim is acceptable? So the Chazanish gives another suggestion, very interesting. He says, when the Rashba says that apikores, one who doesn't believe in Torah Sheba'al Peh Min HaShemayim is dina kinochri, that means like this. He says Torah Sheba'al Peh is not Min HaShemayim, but he still follows everything that it says in the Shulchan Aruch. What does he follow when it says in Shulchan Aruch? You have professors like that, big academics. They say, story of Chanukah never happened, but they've seen on Chanukah list with a bracha. They say Shechianu the first night, then they say Shoshan Nisim every day. But they don't believe that they don't believe that that's Chanukah happened. So the Chazanish says, one who says that the Torah Sheba'al Peh is all a fraud, but he observes all the dinim. So what kind of a religion is it? It's a man-made religion. So that's not a religious person. So a religious Jew means one who follows Torah Min HaShemayim. So if the kusim were consistent, whatever they didn't believe in, they didn't observe. If you're consistent, then you're okay. Then you're dina k'Yisrael. But if you don't accept Torah Sheba'al Peh Min HaShemayim, you observe it anyway. There are people who say, the Achrayim misunderstood the Rishayim. The Rishayim had the wrong gears in the Gemara. The Amorai misunderstood the Tanoim. Tanoim had, there was a breakdown of tradition in every generation. But every halacha and shulchan aruch is binding. Why is it binding if everything is based on a mistake? So they have a cockeyed notion of what religion is. Religion is all man-made. People make mistakes. That's religion. So that's what the Chazanish says. If the kusim were consistent, so whatever they believed was Min HaShemayim, they observed. Whatever they didn't believe, Torah Sheba'al Peh, they didn't believe Min HaShemayim, they didn't observe it. So they're making a mistake. Torah Sheba'al Peh is also Min HaShemayim. Well, why should we say Dina Ka'akum? And what it says in the Tshuvas HaRashba, quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, that a Jew who doesn't believe in Torah Sheba'al Peh Min HaShemayim is an apikores. Dina Ka'akum means he doesn't believe it's Min HaShemayim and he still thinks that it's binding. Why is it binding if everything is based on a mistake? There's a cockeyed notion of what religion is. Religion is not Min HaShemayim then. So that's why it's Dina Ka'akum. So these are the two suggestions that the Chazanish has over here, when it gets to the kusim. Why should Shechitas kusim be good? Your question. If they didn't believe in Torah Sheba'al Peh Min HaShemayim, it should be apikores Dina Ka'akum, as it says in Yeridin Hilchos Tam Yedim. But apikores who doesn't believe in Torah Sheba'al Peh Min HaShemayim touches the wine, he asks the wine. That's famous in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. The Rambam writes that one who thinks that God has a body is an apikores. And Dina Ka'akum. And the Ravid disagrees and he says, how can you call him an apikores? I agree with the Rambam that God doesn't have any body. But there were so many Gedolim and Tzadikim imena, there were more pious rabbis than the Rambam who were misled into believing that God had a body based on the superficial reading of the Pesukim in Tanakh, Yad Hashem, the hand of God, and Choraf Hashem, God's nose is going to get so angry, and Pi Hashem, the mouth of God. So and the Agaritis and the Gemara describe God as if he's a human being. So the Ravid says that the Gedolim and Tzadikim men, and there were greater, more pious people than the Rambam who thought that God had a body, because B'shogeg, they made a mistake. They thought that's what it said in Tanakh. They thought that's what it says in the Gemara. How can you consider them apikursi? That's the Ravid's sign against the Rambam. So they say the Rav Chaim Soloveitchik made a comment. So Nebuchadrachmanis on these people. But a Nebuchadrachmanis is Echan apikursi. Even though it's a Rachmanis, Echan apikursi. So that's a question. That's what the Chazanish is not sure. Should we pass like that? Do you say that the third generation, fourth generation kusim, it's Rachmanis on them? It's not their fault. They weren't the ones who were parakol. They were improperly educated by their parents and their grandparents. They can't say apikores din ka'akum. Or do you say no? So that's what the Chazanish is the supik. But you should pass like that. Svara Rachmanis. Tinek Shenishba is a concept in the Gemara of the Negev to a different halacha. The Rambam has the Negev to a maridim lo malim. The din is, let's say a person is an apikores, and he's preaching apikorsis in the community, and he's ruining the discipline in the community. everybody, you have a religious community, and this guy's trying to get people to violate all the mitzvahs out there. So the Gemara has sometimes bez makali and shishlaim and adin. Sometimes you have a right to do things that are mamish against the halacha. So the Gemara talks about killing the apikores ayidei grama. They're not going to shoot them, the adai mamish ritzicha, but maridim velo malim. We should convince him he should go down into a pit, we should put a ladder there, and then when he climbs down, we'll convince him whatever. Then we should take away the ladder and let him die from starvation over there. Or if he went down in the pit on his own, so we should take away the ladder and let him die there. So we should cause gram ritzicha. Gram ritzicha is also, you're not chayv misim. It's an avera ritzicha, like sitzach, but it's a little lower than outright ritzicha. So that's based on the principle that bez makam yanshin shalom and adnei lo hayra shoa lemigda milsa. So the Rambam says that this halacha, a marid and lo malim, that you put the person, you give him unofficial lainish misa, unofficial, but he's dead. He's going to be dead. Officially, unofficially, he's going to be dead. So this halacha only applies if he's an apikoros on his own. But if it's a tinuk shenishba, he's a third generation of apikoros already, that's the way he was educated by his parents. So you don't have that punishment. So tinuk shenishba means that he's an apikoros b'shoigig, so whatever oinish you give to an apikoros, he doesn't deserve. But that's the question, apikoros dinakat, is that an oinish midirabbanon? So if it's a tinuk shenishba, he doesn't deserve an oinish, or is that a din deraisa of bikaris dinikatim? So that's a major in the shach and sinner days. That's a machlokes achrayim, and the chida wrote many svarim. So the chida has a commentary on Ayankit that's called Pesach Einayim. So in the Pesach Einayim on Daf Hey, he quotes from Kisviyad that this is a machlokes harishayim. But apikaris dinikatim is a din deraisa din derabon. We know it is a machlekes achrayim. The chiddush shows it's a machlekes harishonim. So let's see again. So the kusim were a breed of their own. They didn't follow Torah Shabbat Peh. So one of the things that they didn't follow is Rashi quotes in the pasuk, "Lefnei Iver, Lasikei Mikshol." What does the pasuk mean? Here Rashi quotes from Vayikra chapter Yutes. If neighbor the seat of Milchi, you're not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. So we assume that also included, the Torah Shabbat Peh says that also included in the pasuk is, you're not permitted to be machshel a person in Aveira. Let's say somebody comes to my home, a guest, and he's an Orthodox person. He wouldn't want to eat non-kosher food. But I'll buy non-kosher food and I'll give it to him. So we assume that that's a violation of this neighbor the seat of Mikshol. If he would have known that it's not kosher, he wouldn't have wanted to eat it. The Olam, why is it a problem? One should say it's misasek. If he doesn't know that it's not kosher, he thinks that it's kosher food. He doesn't know it's not kosher, so it's misasek. And misasek is not considered a maisaver at all. So the answer is misasek b'chalob ma'arayis chayv shikein dehenu. The Gemara says there is a rule that misasek is not considered an avera. If a person does some other avera than misasek, but if he violates macholas asuras abias asuras, misasek b'chalovim u'b'arayis, chalovim means chelev, eating chelev b'macholas asuras, or arayis gili arayis, since the nature of the avera is such that it has hanoah with it, so you can't apply the rule misasek is not considered a maisa there. So these kusim didn't hold from that cloud. So they felt, wherever he doesn't know, won't hurt him. If he doesn't realize that it's treif of food, so it's misasek, so it's hetter gomer. The Gemara has such halacha for religious Jews. The Gemara says, I have a pardes and chutz lorz, and I plant the trees, and the pears that grow the first 3 years are orlo, so you're not allowed to eat it. But the Gemara has a din, sofik garla b'chutz lorz is muta. What kind of halacha is that sofik? Usually sofik daraisa b'chumre. And orla b'chutz lorz, we assume it's halacha l'mashem m'sinai. So why sofik garla b'chutz lorz mutter? The Gemara says in Kiddush, in the end of the first pair, that's part of the halacha l'mashem m'sinai. Kach nema halacha, vado osur, usveka mutter. So what's the word that sofik orla is mutter? Orla b'chutz lorz is only osur if there's yediyas ha'isur. If you know the fact. But if you're not aware of the fact, then there's no Issa. So the Gemara says, not only Suffolk Orla, let's say you come and visit me, and I'm going to give you kosher food, I know I have Arla in my backyard. I'm not allowed to eat it. It's great. But you don't know that it's Arla. So the Gemara says it's permissible for me to give you the Arla. You should eat it and enjoy it. There's no violation of a misnaver the Sita Mishnah because you don't know that it's great. Whatever you know won't hurt you. Whatever you don't know won't hurt you. If I give you a chazer, what do you say? Our law is also my law. That's a kasha. Yeah.
And not having to give kosher food?
Kosher food, right. That's a very good kasha that Achrenim asked. We don't know exactly the terrace. But that's a very strong kasha. But the Gemara says, the Amorim used to feed each other Arla when they had Vaday Arla. But as far as the one who's eating it is concerned, he doesn't know the facts. He doesn't know that it's Arla. So whenever there's Arla b'chutzlart and there's no yidi of the facts, so the din is that it's mutter. The same thing by Avelis. Let's say, I'm a doctor in the hospital. I know that Pliny just died in the hospital. And then I go home at the end of the day. I pick up Pliny's son. We're driving together to go to a wedding tonight. And I'm going to dance with him at the wedding. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's permissible to take him to the wedding. But his father just died. He's a din of Einan. He's not supposed to be going to weddings. So the din is, before he knows Yediyah of the death of the relative, the laws of Aninus and Avelis don't apply. Avelis and Aninus only applies when you have Yediyah. Either this Shmur Kreva or Shmur Rechoika. Did I find that within 30 days of the death of the relative, then it's called Shmur Kreva? I found that after 30 days went by, then it's called Shmur Rechoika. But you have to have Shmur. Kozman is no Shmur, Kozman is no Yediyah of the death of the relative. So the whole din of Avelis doesn't begin, doesn't get off the ground. He may be angry at me. I'm going to take him to the wedding and dance with him. Then he's going to find out. He's going to come home at 1 o'clock. He's going to find out that his father died and I knew all about it. I didn't tell him. He's going to be angry. Maybe a stupid thing to do. Maybe you shouldn't act like that. But strictly speaking, you won't be in violation of Lifnei either. So these kusim felt the same is true even on non-kosher food. Because the one to whom I give the food doesn't know the facts that it's non-kosher. So they held that that's Misasik, and Misasik is Nishke Maisaver. So they held that there's no violation of Lifnei V'Lisita Mishal over here. We don't accept their opinion. We hold that even that is also included in Lifnei V'Lisita Mishal, because Misasik Bachalov Marais is Chayiv, Shekein Nehenes. So here, here we have the following. Akusi is going to shef the behemoth. Then I'm going to ask him, did you shef it properly? Zokta, yeah. Did you shef it according to the way it says in Yeridah, according to the whole Torah? Rabbi says, yeah, absolutely. And he gives me the food to eat. He's a frum akusi. The frum heim frum barn. But the kusim didn't hold for this Easter. They hold that giving non-kosher food to someone else is not a violation of lifnei lisita mishal. So the one who's going to eat it does know the facts that it's straight. So they held that's misasing, so it's not an aver. So if it's really kosher, let me see you eat it. See if he eats a half a kazayas. Chatzi zayas is a machloikis, whether it's osim and atar, osim and rabon. Chatzi shir is a machloikis, Rabbi Yechon and Ishlokish. So we pass like Rabbi Yechon and that it's osim and atar. But chatzi shir, osim and atar, is based on a Bibli of the Torah Shabbat. It says, kol chelas, lo sa chelas, kol duhav chelas. They don't believe in the Torah Shabbat. So if I tell a kusi, if it's really kosher, you're swearing up and down that you did a proper shchita in accordance with the rules and regulations for Orthodox Jews. So I say, let me see you eat. And he eats just a nibbles. He nibbles a little bit. That doesn't prove that it's kosher, because they hold you're allowed to eat a chatzishir. They didn't believe in Torah Shabbat. But if he sits and he eats a kazayas of the flesh that he shechted, then he demonstrated that it's kosher. So then I'm allowed to eat. Then I can rely on him. I'm allowed to eat. So this is how Abaye is going to interpret the Mishnah. Let's see. Abaye Amar, on the seventh line from the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, the problem was that the Mishnah starts off, Hakol Shertim, it's Mutar L'Chatchila. There's a case where it's Mutar L'Chatchila to rely on someone questionable. And then other cases, it's only Kosher B'Di'evit. So when is it L'Chatchila? When is it B'Di'evit? What is the Mishnah alluding to? It's a remez in the Mishnah. It doesn't say what it's talking about. The Abaye says, Hachi Katan, it means like this. Hakol Shech Mafilu Kusi. You can even allow a kusi to shech l'chatchila. Bamedvar mamurim. Why? Because the kusim are geri emes. The original conversion that they had in the days of Tanakh and Malach and Beis, that was not valid because they still worshipped Avodah Zarah. So there never was a Kabbalah on mitzvahs. But they must have historically The Muslim Shuvn is Gaira B'Lev Shalom. It must have been a later conversion. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense why they're observing all the mitzvahs. So we assume that the Geri Emes and the Mishnah goes before the Takonas Rav Meir, before Rav Meir declared that Ka'akum Gemurim L'chol Degrim. So the Gemara says, B'Med Var Mamburim, when do we allow you to eat Shchitas Kusi L'chatzila? That's only Kishe Yisrael Omer Al Gabar from the beginning to the end. Yisrael is standing there watching over the Kusi the way he shechs from the beginning to the end. He sees they did a good job. But if the Jew is there in the beginning, then he goes out in the middle, then he comes back. He didn't watch every moment of the act of Shechita. He's watching the beginning and the middle. Lo Yishkot. You shouldn't rely on the Kusi Shechting, because Yetzav Nichnas is not sufficient the supervision. And if the Kusi did Shecht and the soul was only Yetzav Nichnas, so then the way to ascertain that it's really kosher is Choytuch Kazayis Bosa Benayisen Loi. Give him a kazayis of the flesh that he just shechted and say, if you tell me it's really kosher, let me see if you're going to eat it. If he eats the kazayis, mutalecha mishchitasa, he demonstrated as far as he's concerned it's kosher. And he knows it, Dinim. He knows you're a day. So I can eat it also. But if loy acholoi, if he does mind eating kazayis, even if he eats less than a kazayis, that's not enough of a proof. Because less than a kazayis is already Torah Baal Peh. But if he does mind eat the full kazayis, also lecha mishchitasa, then you can't eat from his shechita. So this is the Mishnah that lechatchila you can rely on shechita sakusi if a Yisrael is watching mitchila beatzof, and b'diavad if he shechted and one is only yotze v'nichtan sabay hod yotze v'nichtan, is not sufficient. Rav is going to reject this idea. Rav is going to say yotze v'nichtan is perfectly good lechatchila also, but Abai thought yotze v'nichtan is not even good, not good lechatchila, is not good b'diavad. He holds yotze v'nichtan is not good. So the Yeved, the Shechitas Kusi, would be good if you would be Chaytach Kazayis Bosom and Osin Loi, if he eats it as Mutter. But then the Mishnah continues, but Acherish Oy to the Katan, it says, Hakol Shoftim, Chutz Mecherish Oy to the Katan, they're Labanei Das. So them, you can't rely on them, even if they lead a Kazayis Bosom, it doesn't mean anything, they're Labanei Das, unless you have somebody watching. Acherem Rai Maisam, Shechitas and Sheir. If someone was watching the Cherishat of the Kod Meshech, and they know they did a good job, then it would be good. Chutz v'Cherishat of the Kod, nafilu b'diyevet nami lo, even b'diyevet, you can't rely on their Shechita, why? Shema Yashu, maybe they did a Shia, maybe they'll do a Shia next time, Shema Yidrusu, Shema Yachlidu. We're going to get to that. The Gemara says, Derecha Mishulcha Shechita. There are five laws. The Torah of Baal Peh says, Derecha Mishulcha Shechita. How are you supposed to do Shechita? So three of them are not noticeable. When I have the dead animal, shehiyah means like this. He started shechting the neck by the simonim, and then he pauses to daven mincha in the middle, and then he comes back to finish the shechita. So when you look at the neck, you see it's cut all the way through. You can't tell whether he did a shehiyah or drasa. Drasa is like this. When you shecht, you have to fiddle back and forth. You can fiddle from today till tomorrow, not going to get any about that. You have to push down also. You have to have a very sharp knife, and you have to push down, place pressure, pushing down on the neck while you're fiddling back and forth. Let's say you only press down. You don't fiddle back and forth, so that's called drasa. So that's no good. So if you look at an animal that geshochten, I see the neck is cut fine. I don't know whether he shechted pushing the knife down. It was a very sharp knife, pushed it down, which is not acceptable. I pushed it down at the time that it was fiddling back and forth, in which case it is good. So you look at the animal, you can't tell. What's the other one? Chaloda. Chaloda also you can't tell. If you stick in the knife in the middle of the neck and you cut one of the simonim, and then you cut the other one of the simonim. So you look at the neck, it looks like a good shechita. You can't tell whether he started over here and he cut all the way back, or he stuck the knife in the middle and then he cut part and then he cut the rest of it. It looks like a good incision. It looks like a perfect shechita. You can't tell by looking at it.
She has a momentary hesitation also.
Even, yeah, not only davening mincha. Even just waiting a half a minute, yeah. The Gemara is going to have a discussion how long a pause. I gave an exaggerated case, yeah. Yeah. So Tosfos points out, here the Tosfos points out, and based on the base, the third Tosfos is in Baruch Shema Yashu. Tosfos says, the other two psulim you can tell by looking at the animal. Hagrama. Hagrama means you look at the dead animal and you see he shechted too high up or he shechted too low down. There's a specific location on the neck. If it's too high up or too low down, that's not the makam hashchita. So you look at the animal that's gishach, and you can tell whether the person, whether the kid, the cherish has to be cut, whether he did a hagrama or not. Or the ikar also like that. Ikar means, there are two pshat and what ikar means. So, pashup pshat and ikar means that the kona and the resha, the windpipe and the food pipe are supposed to be attached on the bottom to the lungs and to the stomach. They're supposed to be attached on top somewhere. So let's say they're detached on top, and I shech the animal. So that's called simen. You do shechita on the simen akur, so the shechita is no good. So if I look at the dead animal, the shech dead animal, I'll look and I'll see that in addition to the incision that the neck was cut with a sharp knife, I'll see that the top of the windpipe or the top of the food pipe is not attached on top where it's supposed to be. So ikka, you can tell by looking at it. So you don't have to be afraid. Shem, or maybe there was ikka. You look at it, you see that either there was ikka or there was no ikka. But the shia and the drasa and the, what's the other one? Chalada, that you can't tell by looking at it. So that's what the Gemara says. You can never rely on a cherisha to the cotton. Even if the kid's going to be bar mitzvah next week, the halacha says a cotton doesn't have namonis. You can't rely on him. Shema, what's the Shema Yashil? Maybe the Dushir, Shema Yidrus, Shema Yachligu. And if the Cherish are to the Kutch and Shecht and others are watching, and the others are watching, no, Hilcha Shechit, and they say, we watched and the kid did a good job. Kulon Sheshachtu, and Acherim Raimaisim, then it's good. So the Gemara says, that line, the last line that says,
well, let's try the whole idea of Yertha the Nichna. I can understand that if you want to catch them, they brought in the non-kosher ingredients. They don't expect you to get the nechlaki. But this is like instantaneous. You were there when he accepted, then you saw it. If you weren't, then you didn't see it.
But the Kusi knows that I can come back any second. And he knows that I'm relying on him. And he doesn't want to be a liar. He said he's going to shecht it properly. He tells me, even though he doesn't believe in listening to the Sita Mishra.
How long does the Maizah speak to say?
Okay. Okay. But still, he starts off and I'm watching the beginning, and then I walk out in the middle, and he doesn't know when I'm going to come back. So since I can come back any second, so we're not going to accept that Abaye Shita. We pass the Yetz of Nichtas is good l'chatchila. So Rob is going to prove it.
It's not the same animal. He's seen several animals. He's the first one, but then the two or three in the middle one, he doesn't
do any regular. Also, but Yetz of Nichtas means he doesn't know when I'm coming back.
Right.
He doesn't know when I'm coming back. It's not the same as now when a kashrus organization gives the hashgacha, they visit the factory four times a year or something. That's not called Yetz of Nichtas. Yetz of Nichtas means I can come back at any time and I catch him in the middle. The kashrus organizations give hashgacha now based on a different thing. That the company has a system that they instituted not for religious purposes to satisfy the Orthodox Jews who want to have kosher food. They have a system that's for their business purposes. Let's say they cook tuna fish. There are three different kinds of tuna fish that they sell in the can. There's a yellowfin, and there's albacore, and what's the other one? I forgot already. A skipjack. There are many different kinds of tuna. So the three that they sell for human consumption in the cans are those three. So when they're cooking, and each one needs a different amount of time of cooking. One of them you cook for 8.5 minutes, one of them cook for 10.5 minutes, one of them cook for 12 minutes. So whenever they're doing yellowfin, there's no albacore. Whenever they do albacore, there's no skipjack. They're always marked for business purposes. So kavachayim, they're not going to mix in another kosher fish. They're not going to throw in a different fish. Kavachayim, they're not going to throw in a non-kosher fish. They're marked for dafke albacore, dafke this kind of a kosher fish, this kind of a tuna fish. So they do it for business purposes like that. So since they have a system, this is Chazaka Umalam Aram Nasi. He's not going to ruin his business. We know that for business purposes, that's the way he deals in business. He only deals in these things. Not going to change the system. You have to check every so often to make sure that they're not changing the nature of their system. But that's not called Yetzer V'Nichlas. Yetzer V'Nichlas means that the Jew is there, right outside, and the Nachri knows that he can come in any minute. And catch him in a lie. The Gemara says the Yetzer V'Nichlas, we pass like Rabbah. The Yetzer V'Nichlas is good even l'chatchil, even by Din D'Oraisa, even by Shechita. Shechita dealing with the Din D'Oraisa. Some Rabbanim said the Yetzer V'Nichlas is only good by Dinim D'Rabbanim. because the proof that Rava quotes is from a Mishnah and a Maseches of a Dezora. I have a shop of wine, and I have workers who work there. I have non-Jews who are buying wine. And I instruct them, don't touch the wine. You're going to touch the wine, you're going to make a trace. So none of the Jews are allowed to eat it. So Kozman, the Balabas, is there in the store. He's watching to make sure that none. He's watching all the time, make sure that the Nochim don't handle it. They don't stick their hands. If the Nochim carries a barrel of wine like this, even if it's open on top, he doesn't ask for the wine. If he sticks his hand in, or if he sticks a ladle in to take something, or if he pours the wine, then it's going to be an issue. But if he doesn't stick his hand in, he's just carrying a barrel from one place to the other. Even if the barrel is open, it's not a problem, unless the barrel is full to the top. And when he carries the barrel on his shoulders, he sticks his hands over the top of the barrel, and his fingers are sticking in into the wine. And the wine is almost up to the top, so maybe he's touching the wine with his fingers, and then it'll be an issue. But if he's carrying the barrel like this, it's not an issue. So the din is that if the balabas left the store for a moment, and he comes back a little later, and the Nochri who's working in the store, the Nochri customers, know that the balabas is around. He didn't go to Davin. He didn't say, I'm going to Davin Milcha, I'll be back in a half hour. He doesn't say where he went. Even if he did go to Davin Milcha, but he didn't tell the guy that he's going to be away for half an hour. And the Nochri knows that the balabas may come back any minute. He's going to catch him in the middle, touching the wine, and he's going to be furious at him, why he may trace his wine. So the Gemara says, the Rabbah proves, he sees from the Mishnah, the Yotze B'Nichnas is good l'chatchila. So who are the Nami over here? There you're talking that Din the Rabbanon. What's the great tragedy if a non-Jew touches the wine? Who said he had a mind l'shem Abadizor? Probably did not have a mind l'shem Abadizor. It's very far-fetched. The Nochri is going to be menasach the wine. L'shem Abadizor, then he's going to let a private person drink it. What kind of an Abadizor is that? If he wants to be menasach the wine for his getchke, so he should be makbid that no human being should drink it at all. So it's very far-fetched. The Tosfos points out the Ikar Gzeira D'Rabbanan of Stam Yeinam was really introduced because of the concern of intermarriage. We're afraid that the Jew may enjoy the Goyish wine so much, he may want to marry the Goy's daughter and have a lifetime supply of this delicious wine. So once they made the Gzeira, the same reason why they prohibited Pasakum, bread that's baked by the next door neighbor, Bishalakum, even if I was watching the way the Goy cooked the food and the way the Goy baked the bread, I know everything's 100% kosher. But it's also because of chasnas that may lead to intermarriage. So that's the real reason, the main reason why they prohibited Stam Yeinam is because it may lead to chasnas, may lead to intermarriage. Once they made the gzeira, so they threw in as a footnote also, and even if it's kosher wine and the non-Jew stuck his fingers in, so there's a far-fetched chashash of nisuch, I'm not going to marry his daughter because he stuck his hand into my wine. I'll marry his daughter if he's the one who's the manufacturer of the wine. But if he's the waiter who pours the wine, why should I marry his daughter? He doesn't have access to the wine. Someone has to pay for the wine. So once they made the gzeret because of chasnos, so they added this as a footnote, that you're not allowed to drink the wine that the non-Jew handled. But it's only at the rabbanon on top of it, the rabbanon. It's a gzeret kala. This iser, if the akum handles the wine. So some rabbanim said, oh, yetzim nichnas is only good by stam yeinam, because it's only a din de rabbanon. But by a real din de raisa, it wouldn't apply. It's against the whole Gemara. The Gemara, maybe that's not even what Abai said. Abai gives a different distinction. And we pass like Rabbah, the Yotze B'Nichnas is even good l'chatchila by Shechita. Even though Shechita is an issue there, right? And even though Shechita, Mamash the Kusi is handling the animal. By the wine, the Nochri in the shop knows he's not supposed to touch the wine. And when the owner of the shop walked out, the Nochri was not touching the wine. Here, the Kusi is holding the knife and he's in the middle of shechting the animal. And you still, you're not afraid that it's going to... Yotze B'Nichnas is enough. That's what Robert disagrees with Abai. That Yotze B'Nichnas is good l'chatchila, even though the Nochri, even though the Kusi is handling the knife with the behemoth. You still say that Yotze B'Nichnas is enough. One Tana says that only if you're menasech in front of the Avodah Zarah, we pass enough, even if the Avodah Zarah is in India, and I pour the wine over here to Adarit. Out of worshipping that Avodah Zarah in India, it also becomes also. So if I really pour, I pour a cup of tea, I pour a cup of water. If I really pour it, the Shem Avodah Zarah becomes also Ba'anom and HaTorah. So this is a Chomer Midrabban. Whenever a Nochri touches wine, you have to be Chayshesh, Farfetch, Chashash, maybe had in mind to be Menasech the Shem Avodah Zarah. If he would pour water, the Shem Avodah Zarah would be also also. But they normally didn't pour water. So you don't ask it. Whenever a Nachri touches Coca-Cola, he touches water, you don't ask her everything. But wine was the common practice bismanatanoi. Today they still pour wine, Avodah Zarah. They're still in New York City. They have guys who worship Abed Azar by pouring wine on an altar. Shame Abed Azar.
Is it allowed to go to work in a Jewish wine store?
Is it allowed to do what?
To work.
To work. Yeah, all the bottles are closed. Yeah, all the bottles are closed. Yeah. The Gemara says even if the wine is in a canteen, and he squeezes the canteen like this, even if it's open, even if he squeezes it, that's not ein dach nisach bekach. That's not the way they benasa. Only if it's open and he sticks his fingers in and he touches the wine, or if he puts in a ladle to take some of it out, that's called kocho. So kocho also answers.
What about the mass? Is also
the mass? Yeah. The mass, the achrayim say the mass. Yeah, is avada but it's zara, but it's not tikruvis. Tikruvis means if I pour the wine as a matana to the getchke. So tikruvis has no bittul. Let's say I take a salami and I slice it in front of the avada zara. So the whole salami becomes asa banro, and there's no way that later on that salami should become muta banro. But when they have the mass, when they do what they believe the transubstantiation, so they babble their hocus pocus, they call it. It's a Latin prayer that the people that make fun of it, it sounds like hocus pocus. It's an imitation of what they say. So when they say their prayers, so they believe that the wafer turns into the flesh of Osoish, and the wine turns into the blood of Osoish. So according to them, it's not that it's tikruvus, it's avodah zara mamish. So you have a kula. If another goy will come along and say, I don't believe in this hagwash, it's not the flesh and it's not the blood, the garnish midrash, then it becomes mutabahano. If you have tikruvus avodah zara, the Darki Tshuva points that out. He says, if you have tikruvus avodah zara, someone was pouring wine, let's say avodah zara, or he swishes his hand in a barrel of wine, the shem tikruvus avodah zara. That's also banor has no bit lailomis. The kruvis can't become choyza muta banor. But if you have avodah zara mamish, then shel nochri, if a Jew worshipped avodah zara, so has no bitl. Or if a Jew bought the avodah zara from a goy, then also has no bitl. But if it's avodah zara that belongs to a goy, and a goy is mevatel avodah zara, and the goy worshipped avodah zara, then a goy later on, same goy, different goy, is mevatel avodah zara, I don't believe in that avodah zara anymore, so then it's choyza becomes muta banor. So that's what they say by the mass, the wine that they use doesn't become tikruvus, it becomes avodah zara mamish, which in a certain sense is machomer, but it has a kula that avodah zara mamish can lend itself to bittul. Hashem can't tikruvus, does not lend itself to bittul. Shulchan Aruch, there's a little sefer called Shulchan Aruch Arizal. So the Shulchan Aruch Arizal has a chumra that if a nochri looks at the wine, it already becomes straight. So that's why all the wine bottles are stained glass. That's why some are machmer. A lot of wine bottles are clear glass. If the guy looks at the wine, he sees it. But a lot of the wine bottles are stained glass, and he can't really see the wine. He sees the stained glass. That's a chumra. You can read that in the Shulchan Aruch. That's not quote. Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote it. That's a little safer. Shulchan Aruch Arizal. That's all the chumra. So the Gemara asks on the Mishnah, the last line of the Mishnah, on Beis HaMeralah says, if Acherim Ra'im Aysam, Shchitachim Sherim. Other people are watching, then the Shchita is good. Who does that go on? Does it only go on the Acherim Shaita V'Katon? The Mishnah says, Hakol Shochtim L'Chatzchila. A lot of people can Shecht, you'd be surprised, a lot of people can Shecht L'Chatzchila. And the other people can Shecht to the Yevid, you'd rely. Cherish out of the cotton is no good, even though the Yevid is no good. However, if a godl is watching, Acherim Ra'im Aysam, Shchitasim Sherim, then it's good. It's good for the Yevid. So this Acherim Ra'im Aysam only goes on the Cherish out of the cotton. So why does it say the Kulam Sheshachtu? It should say the Im Shachtu. That's what the Gemara is going to say. If it only goes on Cherish out of the cotton, Kulam means it goes on Cherish out of the cotton, and it goes on somebody else mentioned earlier in the Mishnah. If it only goes on the cherish out of the cotton, it shouldn't use the word v'kulam sheshachtu. You say cherish out of is not good. V'imshachtu, acherim ha'maisim is good. Apparently, acherim ha'maisim goes on the first case as well. So Abaye claims the first case is talking about a kufi. So the Gemara Taina is, v'kulam sheshachtu ahei. The last line in the Mishnah, what does it refer back to? Ii leimo. If I should say that only refers back, it certainly refers to the cherish out of the cotton, that's clear. Should I say it only refers to the cherish out of the cotton? So So alokoi, that's where it's written, right after cherish after the cotton. So it shouldn't say the kulam sheshachtu. It should say the im shachtu meboyle. You just spoke about cherish after the cotton. So it say the im shachtu b'cherem amaisim. It's good. Elagus must go also akusi. Goes on the cherish after the cotton. Also goes on the kusi. So the question is, so Amid, he said, "Elohim al gab of shecha afil lachatchila." The last line in the Mishnah says that b'di'eved. Acherim Ramaisim Shchitas and Sher sounds like Bidiyevit. If others are watching on the Cherishat of the Kotten Sher, it's good Bidiyevit. And it says Vikulam, so it doesn't only go on Cherishat of the Kotten, it goes on someone else mentioned earlier in the Mishnah. Who was mentioned earlier? Abai claims the one mentioned earlier is the Kusi. So the Kusi, if Acherim Ramaisim is good Lachatrila, Hakol Sherchim is good Lachatrila if Acherim Ramaisim. So how do you end off the last line in the Mishnah? Shchitas and Sher Bidiyevit. So that's the kasha against Abaisha. That's the weak point in Abaisha. It doesn't really fit in. All the din that he said makes sense, but his chat doesn't seem to fit into the mission.
Cool.
Rav is going to say the exact same thing as Abai. It's going to be the same difficulty in Rav. But Rav is not happy about the one nekuda that Abai said that Yetzir Yenichna says not acceptable. He says that's against the mission in Abai Nizor. Rav, Omar, Rav, you mean to say the Yetzir Yenichna is lachatchil aloi? You can't rely on Yetzir Yenichna. Isn't it against the Mishnah, the Hatanan? We have a Mishnah, Masechus Avodah Zorah. Hamidah Chavim Bechanusa, have a wine store, and have Goyisha workers, have Goyisha customers, or drains a harum in the store. The Yisrael Yetziv Yenichnas, and the Balabas is walking in, walking out. He doesn't tell him, I'm going to shul, I'll be back in half an hour. That's not Yetziv Yenichnas. He walks out, and he doesn't tell him when he's coming back. So it says Mutter. It says that it's Mutter, so you see Yetziv Yenichnas is good. So the Gemara says he can't really prove conclusively from that Lashon HaMishnah that Yetzir Yenichnas is good l'chatchila. Maybe it's only good b'di'evet. Abai holds that it's not even good b'di'evet. Abai holds that Yetzir Yenichnas is not even good b'di'evet. But Rav is trying to say it's even good l'chatchila. So Rav has said now. So the Gemara says, Hasam, in that Mishnah you can't really prove your point. Diktani main yach, does it say the Balabas can leave his store even though they're going drain the harum? Because Yetzir Yenichnas is good, it says Haminyach Ktani. Maybe it's only B'diyevet. Then he means B'diyevet Yetzir Yenichnas is good enough. And Rava wants to disagree with Abai that it's even good L'chatchil. Ela Mihacha, no. Rava quoted a different Mishnah in Abai Zohar. It says Beferish that Yetzir Yenichnas is good even L'chatchil. Ein Hashemer, so you have the Balabas is not watching this store. He has a Shemer in charge to make sure that none of the Nachum who are working there are going to handle the wine. They're not going to stick their hands into the wine. He doesn't have to sit all day long and watch every single person. Allah Fatisha Yetzir Yenichnas Mutter. So it says Lachatchila. It says Lachatchila Yetzir Yenichnas is good. Ela my Rabbis, the Rabbis says in the Mishnah, even though that Mishnah is talking about Stam Yenom, which is only a din derabbanon, and here we're talking about Shchita. Shchita is a din deraisa. So Rabbis says it's all the same thing. You don't distinguish between an issue derabbanon, an issue derabbanon, an issue deraisa. Ela my Rabbis. Rav is patching up Abaye's pshat. El Amar Rav, if you want to say like Abaye, that the first two lines of the Mishnah go on kusi, hachi katan, hakol shech nemafilu kusi, you can let a kusi shech lechatchila, you don't see apikar is dina kakum. And the kusi mageri emes, he's Jewish, and he's not dina kakum, and he can shech. But we can't trust him, because they chashu them alifne iver, because they hold that that's misasik, they hold that there's none on aver. When do we allow the kusi to shech lechatchila only? At least he saw going in and out, and the kusi knows they may catch him making it nevel. But if the Yisrael comes after the kusi already finished the whole shechita, Yisrael comes after the whole shechita is all over, and the kusi didn't know in the first place that it's going to be a yetzir v'nichnas. So the kusi has no one to be afraid of over here. So then the way to test is, cut off a piece of flesh and give it to the kusi, see if he's going to eat it. If you give him less than a kazayis, it doesn't prove anything because they don't believe in chatzishir, asr, period. The whole chatzishir is mutter. But chaytuch kazayis, give him a kazayis of flesh. Acholoi, if the kusi eats it, it's mutter lechol mishchitos, it's a simen, that it's kosher. He's a religious kusi, he wouldn't have eaten it if it's nevel. If lo acholoi, then you have no proof, asr lechol mishchitos. So fine, these are the laws of kusi. Then the Mishnah continues. Yeah, you allow someone to shech lechatchila if there's Yisrael Yetzir Yenichnas, that's only a kusi. But a cherishah to the cotton, you shouldn't allow them to shech even if someone is watching. Lechatchila shouldn't let them shech. because they may do shir, may do hagrama, may pasul it. Shema yish, shema yashu.
Somebody's watching and they can see it.
Because he may not pay attention. He may not pay attention so well. And this time he may do it well, shema yishu. In the future he may make an avail. So it's not a smart policy to allow a cherishah to be gotten to shech with other people watching. But b'niyavid, if the cherishah to be gotten to shech, then someone else was watching. And the person says, I was watching from the beginning to the end, and did a good job. So that's b'niyavid, that'll be good. So then the Gemara asked the same kasha as they asked before. Then the last line in the Mishnah says, v'kulam sheshachtu, and if the shech and the nazis are watching from the beginning to the end is good, who does that refer to? Ahei. Who does it refer to? Ilema, if he should say that it only goes on Chereshoyz v'katan, only goes on the last line in the Mishnah, so it shouldn't say v'kulam. That's what you're talking about, Chereshoyz v'katan. It should say v'im shachtu. And if they shech it, so it must be im shachtu v'boim. Ela akusi. Must go back on the kusi. Not only the cherish has to be cut, then kusi also. If a cherim are watching, then shchitos and sherim will be good. Frag the Gemara. But you just said in the first line, hakol shochtim l'chatchila. If someone's watching from the beginning to the end, or it's even a yet to be nichnas from the beginning to the end, it's mutar l'chatchila. Then you end off. And if someone's watching, it's good for the evit. So it's a steer between the first line and the mishnah and the last line. So Gemara says, kasha. Rav is pshat. The deed in that Rav said are good. Understandable, but it doesn't fit into the Mishnah. The words in the Mishnah don't reach there. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. So the Gemara is going to give a different suggestion. Rav Ashi Yom, a different suggestion in the Mishnah, again, to try to explain how come the first line in the Mishnah says, the first line is referring to one person, the second line is referring to someone else. Hakol Shech, L'chatzkil, you allow someone to shech, he would have not realized it. And other people, but the Yevit, the Shechita is good too. Who's good, L'chatzkil, who's good, but the Yevit? Rav Ashi has a whole different shot. Hochi Kutani, it goes like this. Hakol Shechim, Afilu Yisrael Mumer. Even if it's a Jew who doesn't observe mitzvahs, what kind of a Mumer is it? If he's a Mumer, L'Avadizare, so Mumer, L'Avadizare, Dina Kinochri. So Shechitas and the Bela, even if we're watching from the beginning to the end, it's a Goy Shecht, and someone's watching. What does it help? A Goy Shecht is no good. So that's a Jew. Who's a mumal avodizar, mumal chal Shabbos befeesi, dinik nachri, also shchitas in the veil. So what kind of a mumer are you talking about? Mumal amai. What is he a mumer to? Which averus does he violate? So the answer is, he's a mumal lechal nevelus l'teyovoin. He's a mumal lechal nevelus lahachis, and there's a mumal lechal nevelus l'teyovoin. And lahachis literally means he wants to give the Rabban Shalom a heart attack. That's a little bit of a joke. So there's not going to, you know, he's not going to give the Baruch Shalom lahach, he's not going to give him a heart attack. Lachas means, eino maktiv, he never cares, kosher, non-kosher, even if they give it for nothing, even if he's at a dinner, and they have on one side, they have kosher food, the other have non-kosher food, he doesn't care, he'll take the non-kosher food. He goes shopping in the store, so they sell, and the Yayin painting said, we sell kosher and non-kosher products, and it costs exactly the same. The kosher and non-kosher costs exactly the same. He doesn't care. He's ain't a makna. So that's called mumalahakas. So if a person doesn't keep kosher, it just doesn't mean anything to him. So then he also can't trust him on the shechita at all. Because he's an avarian as far as shechita is concerned. But a lot of people don't keep kosher because it's too expensive. He's a mumal, that's a mumalatayavan. Mumalatayavan, he saves money. And if they would be giving him free food, he's at a function where they're giving free food, so of course he's going to take the kosher food. As a chayi, he's not a goy. Or if the price would be the same, of course he would take the kosher food. That's how they tell the story in Europe. They used to have Jews who were known to be ganovim. That's what they did for panos. So once the local ganov in Volozhin was making a bar mitzvah, and he invited everyone to come to the kiddush in his home. So they asked Avchaim Volozhin, can they rely on his kashrus? Everybody knew he was a local ganov. Rav Chaim Volozhin said he's going to investigate. So he called him in, and he asked him, tell me, Rabbi, what do you do for a living? Hi, Rebbe, what can I tell you? Babin said, hi, Rabbi, I'm a goddess. What can I do? That's what I do for a living. So he asked him, and what happens if you have a big neighbor to do on Shabbos? What can I tell you? I'm a shomer Shabbos, but the business is business. If he has a big neighbor to do on Shabbos, he can't control himself. He does big neighbor on Shabbos. And what do you do if you have food Do you take the food also? Of course I take anything that's worth money I can take. What do you do if it's non-kosher food? He takes it also. What do you do with the non-kosher food? Do you eat it? Rabbi, what do you think? I'm a guy. I'm a yid. Of course I'm not going to eat. So he said that you can eat by him. He told the Balabatim. He's just, not, even though he's over on...
You know that story is far away.
Oh, okay. Okay. So the din is that a ganef is neman ala kashrus. A ganef is not neman on bidika sasakin. A dovah sheyesh bo tircha. To be boyik the sack and the next year doesn't have any pigimus. So a ganef doesn't have that manus on that. Sometimes you have, once in a while, you'll have a shechid with a shtik ala ganef. He'll take some of the flesh on his own when people are not watching. So the din is you have to fire the shechid. Because the shechid who's a ganef doesn't have that manus on bidika sasakin. Because that's a dovah sheyesh bo tircha. But here, if you have a mumar oichel nevelus with teyovain, means he. Chol Shabbos for Hesia and Dina Kapur. Hesia means he's not embarrassed at all. Here he was embarrassed. He was.
Somebody
for Chol Shabbos
would not
prepare
as
that money. Has that money? Yeah, has that money. Yeah. He's considered that he's a Yisrael. He has that money. Chol Shabbos for Hesia, and then the Chazanish explains, and the Dinyan Tzion explains before the Chazanish. Because he lived in Germany at the beginning of the Reform Movement. So he says, Mechal Shabbos Mefersia means the Mezid. Mefersia means he's breaking the discipline in the community. That he's not embarrassed. He does it, the chutzpah. He's not embarrassed even during Mechal Shabbos in the presence of the chief rabbi. The Gemara in Erevin tells the story. I think we learned that part of Erevin. The Gemara says, a Yid was wearing a ring that was a signet ring that he only used for business purposes. It wasn't a tafshit. Not that it wasn't a normal ring that looks good. It was only for business. He's not allowed to wear it. There was no air. So it's carrying. So when the rabbi walked by, so he was embarrassed. So he folded his hands one on top of the other. That the rabbi shouldn't chap that he's wearing this ring outside of the Erev. So because he was embarrassed from the rabbi, from all the other balabatim, he wasn't embarrassed. But because of the rabbi, he was embarrassed. So the Gemara says that's called Meshamesh Abata Bashuk. That's not called Mechal Shabbos Befehesi. So many poskim assume that that's also, the Gemara there is not really talking about Mumad Dina Kakam. We want to talk about a different thing there. When you make, when you have a Rishis Hayachid, let's say you have an area that's Mukaf Mechitzis, you have 10 different families have homes over there. So in our Torah, it's Mukaf Mechitzis, the whole thing is one big Rishis Hayachid. The Davos Takana Shleim HaMelech, when we learned there in the beginning of the second period, the Gemara says Shleim HaMelech made a Takana, that even though it's one big Rishus HaYochid, but with the Rabbanah, since one family lives in this apartment, different family lives in that apartment, so you're not allowed to carry, let's say, Nekin Erev HaTzeres. So if one of the people who lives in the building is a Nochri, so you can't make an Erev HaTzeres for the Nochri, it's irrelevant. The Nochri doesn't have to observe Shabbos, all things are irrelevant. So what if there's a Jew who's Mechal Shabbos, with or without an Erev, he's going to carry anyway. So the whole Erev is irrelevant as far as he's concerned. So then the Erev doesn't help for him. But what happens if he's Neshama, that's the Lashon HaMishnah, he's Neshama Shabbat HaMashuk, in public when people are watching, he is Shem Shabbos, he's embarrassed. He's going to cover over the ring that the rabbi shouldn't see. When the other Balabatim see him, he's not embarrassed. When the rabbi walks by, he is embarrassed. So the Erev is relevant to him. Now he won't have to hide from the rabbi. So the Gemara there is not talking about Mechal Shabbos B'Fehesi Dina Kapma. I want to talk about a different din. That a Mesham Shabbat Bashuk, even though it's Mechal Shabbos in his apartment, even though he talks on the telephone, he writes and he does other malachas when people are not watching, but he wouldn't carry in the chutzah without an Erev, so then the Erev is relevant to him, so it's good. But many poskim extend it to this din also. Mechal Shabbos Befersi Dina Ka'akum. Befersi means he's not embarrassed to be Mechal Shabbos in front of the chief rabbi either. And it's only called Befersi if he's breaking the discipline in the community. So that's what the Dinyan Tzion writes, that the Chazanish writes. You have so many non-observant Jews in the community now. So what do you mean? He's breaking the discipline. His being Mechal Shabbos. There is no discipline. The discipline is already lost. That's not called the Farsia. Farsia means it's bemazed. He knows that it's wrong. And he's not embarrassed to be Mechal Shabbos in front of the chief rabbi. And he's breaking the discipline in the community. Then it's called Mechal Shabbos Farsia. So B'zman HaZeh, that's what the Dinyan Tzion writes and the Chazanish writes. There's no Mechal Shabbos Befesh.
There's a rabbi out of town. There's a silas over there who you can eat by, you can't eat by.
I was always understanding that somebody's on the Shomer Shabbos, that's a bright line. So let's say there's a guy who...
Because usually he goes...
Who drives to shul, but he parks two blocks away.
Yeah. You can eat by him if he knows what kashrus is all about. If he's not a shomer Shabbos, he probably doesn't fully appreciate what he knows. You don't give pork.
He basically holds his God. He basically tries to eat kosher.
But does he keep kosher to my standard? Yidechot is nemen b'isurim is not a magical din. I mean, to the extent that he's knowledgeable, so to that extent, we assume that he's going to observe. He probably won't be so knowledgeable. If he parks two blocks away from the shul, probably does not hilchos kashrus so well. Probably doesn't observe hilchos kashrus so well. That's a person only keeps kosher at home. When he eats out in the restaurant, he's not mocked by the rest. By other people, he's not mocked. So such a person doesn't have the manos on kashrus even in his own home, because he's not fully observant in hilchos kashrus. Whenever a choshen al adav, al adar, al amida, that's a Mishnah in the middle of Chorus, and Daf Lamed. One who doesn't fully observe this din is not nemen on this din, let's say the mikvah lady. The mikvah lady has to make the hashoka to make sure that the mikvah is kosher. But if she herself doesn't observe Taras HaMishpacha, so she's not nemenis on the mikvah. Even, let's say, people do observe Taras HaMishpacha, but they don't keep kashrus, so they're not nemen on kashrus. They keep kashrus, they don't keep Taras HaMishpacha. So they're not nemen on Taras HaMishpacha. Whatever din they don't observe, so they're not nemen. I mean, even if they just observe it superficially, but I want kashrus, real kashrus, not just superficial, kosher style. I want to make sure that it's really kosher. So usually it goes hand in hand. The one who's not a Shem Shabbos fully, usually not going to be so knowledgeable. He's not going to be so observant in the area of kashrus. He's going to be two blocks away from kosher. It'll be superficially, it'll be kosher. It won't really be kosher.
But kashrus, he probably knew more than some rabbi, though.
So the din is
he's
din is that he's nema. The din is that he's nema. Yeah. Only Michal Shabbos befares you need a kakum. But aside from that, not. So Abashi has a new pshat in the Mishnah. He says the Mishnah is talking about Yisrael mumah l'tayovin. If he's a mumah l'hachis, if he just doesn't care about kashrus, so then, he's not kosher to shech. That's what Tosis explains on Amid Beis. Tosis, this we discussed already. Gimel Amid Beis, the Ramaskal Kotsobar. Why is Shechitas Nochri no good? If a guy shechs, why is it no good? So there's a machlek, famous machlek is Tosis in the Rambam. What's wrong with Shechitas Nochri? So the Rambam holds, Shechitas Nochri is a perfect Shechita, but the Torah says we're not allowed to eat it. Maybe he had in mind the shame of it is or. The Korlachov Yachalta Mizivka. The Pasuk says, the Goyim and Eretz Yisrael, we better get rid of the Goyim, we better chase them out from Eretz Yisrael, because they all worship of it is or. They'll invite us to participate in their religious ceremonies. They'll shecht an animal, the shame of it is or, Tikruvis, and then they'll eat it, they'll invite us to eat it. So you're not allowed to eat Tikruvis. So even so, one time and later on, is of Yamin opinion, Stamach Shevis, Adi Kochad, and Lavad is or. That the goyim who really worship Avodah Zarah, if they're conscientious about it, so whenever they shecht any animal, they probably had in mind the shame Avodah Zarah. So Shechitas Nochri would be not an Avela, it would be Asa Ba'ano. So we don't pass like that. We don't say Stamach Shevis Odek Chovim is Avodah Zarah, that he probably had in mind the shame Tikrus. But the Rambam says, subconsciously, in the back of his mind, we are concerned, maybe he's thinking about Avodah Zarah. So that's why the Mishnah says you're not allowed to eat Shechitas Nochri, because it's a hashash of Avodah Zarah. If he would have really had consciously, he would have been thinking about Avodah Zarah, would have been Asa Ba'ano. No, but he's not consciously thinking, he's only subconsciously, so that's why it's only Asar Ba'achila, and it's Mutar Ba'ano. Then the Rambam holds that it's not Metame. The Rambam holds when the Mishnah says Shechitas Akim Levela or Metame B'mas, it's Metame also. So the Rambam says the Metami is only a Chumr Midrabban. It's not an Atar. And Tosfos disagrees with the Rambam. Tosfos says that Shechitas Nochri is an Avela, has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. Samach Shevis Achim is not L'shem Avodah Zarah, has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. It's because that you need a Bar Zricha. The Pasuk says, Ma'at HaZaveach Ata Echel, also Shehu Bar Zricha, that's the Tosfos Gimel on the base. Tosfos understands from the Pasuk, one who's a Bar Zricha, can shecht, la puki, other kechom, ochre, the bedus lahachis, Elchan Avel Zachas just never keeps going. It doesn't, kashrus doesn't mean anything to him. So shchitas and avel, because he's not called a bar zvicha. Or Anochi doesn't have to observe the laws of kashrus, so also he's not called a bar zvicha. The Tosefta says if a monkey, shchitas hakov, if a monkey shech, so it's no good. According to the Rambam, why should it be no good? According to the Rambam, the monkey has mind shema, but it's hard. So it's a problem. According to Rambam, why shchitas hakov nevela? According to Tosefta, we understand, because you need a bar zvicha. Bar zvicha means a human being who's mechuyev to observe the mitzvah of kashrus, and who observes it to a certain extent. If he's a mumalit lahakis, he doesn't believe in it at all. He doesn't observe it at all. Mumalit yavin, he observes it a little bit. A goy is not mitzvah. So a goy is no good. A kof, a monkey, is also not mitzvah. So according to Taisa, shchitas hakof is the same as shchitas hanachri. It's not a good shchita because it's not a bar zvicha. So that's what Taisa is explaining. Taisa is mitaik to loshan agemara here. And the last two lines on Gimel Amud Aleph, Ravashi is explaining what kind of a mumer, mumer lamai, what kind of a mumer is he talking about? So he says, lechem nevelus leteyavet. If he's a mumer, lechem nevelus lachis, he's not a bar zvicha and shchitasa nevela. It's mentame b'masa. The same as if a nochri shech, same shchitas hakof, it's no good. We're talking a mumer, lechem nevelus leteyavet. It's expensive to keep kosher. So he can't afford it. It's not right when it comes to an aveira. You have to spend your last penny in order not to violate the Avera, up until the point of making a suffix sakana. When it comes to a mitzvah, let's say to shake dalin minim, or to sit in sukkah, and he's going to have to blow in all of his money in order to get the dalin minim. He lives in Alaska, he lives there in Wyoming, I don't know. It's going to cost him a fortune in order to get dalin minim, to get a sukkah. So then, Hanavazimus, Ayavazimus, Yasim Mechon. So then, we have to spend more than one-fifth of his total savings in order to fulfill any given mitzvah. But that's only in the area of a mitzvah saseh. When it comes to a mitzvah, so it says you have to give away kol hon beso, every last penny, up until the point of a suffix sakana. When it's ready, he's going to spend all the money, not going to have any money to live on. Or he's going to sleep in the park, and then where's his next meal going to come from? So when he reaches a point of suffix sakana, so then he's not mechuyev to observe the lavin. Look in the concentration camps and in Siberia, you had no choice. They always ate the tracer food. They ate tracer food. The only shot, some of the rabbonim held they're not allowed it under the Nazis. Siberia not, but under the Nazis, some of them held that it was a shas hashmad. They held that the Nazis wanted to destroy the Jewish religion, that it was a war against the God of the Jewish people. And others said, no, they just want to kill the Jews. It's not a war against the Jewish religion. After the war was all over, and then they printed all the drushes of Hitler from the Reichstag, so he said, Beferish, it's a war against the God of the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. He said, Beferish. So those Rabbanim are probably right. They said, you're not allowed to eat the treifas in the concentration camps because it's a shas hashmad. They really wanted to do away with the Jewish religion, not just kill the Jewish people. But at the time, most of the people didn't realize that. They didn't realize it was a shas hashmad. So Ravashi interprets the Mishnah, Hakol Shochtim. It's mutter lahatchila to let a mumah leteyovin shecht a behemah. Ukidu Rav, Ravashi is relying on Rav's memory. Doma Rav Yisrael mumer, ochem nevelus leteyovin, such a person, he eats non-kosher flesh because the kosher flesh is too expensive. If he would have a choice to eat kosher, non-kosher, free, or it costs the same, he would certainly be careful to eat the kosher, but he violates kashrus because it's so expensive. He's not allowed to violate it, but he violates it. So such a person, we can't trust him on the Bedika Sasakin. Like a Ganef, you can't trust him on Bedika Sangdol Shiesh Batircha. So we have to be Boidik Sakin, we have to do the Bedika Sasakin. The Dosin Loi, then we can trust him that he did a good job on the Shchita. And we'll come afterwards. Mutalecho Mishchitosa, we can eat. Avaloi Bodak Dosin Loi, but if I didn't check this, then I, and I rely on him, so he's, since he's a Muma Erchon Nevelus, Leteyavin, if it's too much, if it's too expensive, he's not going to pay for the kosher food. So it's too much of a tircha, v'dika sasakin, it's considered a v'shesh b'tircha, so then lo yishchot. You can't rely on the mumer, leteyavin, that he should do the v'dika sasakin. Dim shochat, if the mumer went ahead and he checked, and nobody did the v'dika sasakin, check the sakin afterwards. V'dik sakin, acharav. So you can check the sakin afterwards. Now sometimes, before you start shechting, the sakin is perfect, has no pigimus, but after you shech, then it develops pigimus. But this, the other way can't happen. If you shecht it with the sakin pigimus, it's not going to straighten up. It's not going to get better. So if after the shechita, I checked the knife, and it turns out that no beginners. So to know most of my friends, there were no beginners before either. And the fellow claims that he checked the socket. We just can't trust him because he's not to be trusted on a davish yesh batircha. So boidek sakino afterwards. Nimsi sakino yofi. If it turns out that it's a good socket, no beginners. Mutalecha mishritos v'imlav. And if it turns out that there are beginners, so you can't check the socket for some reason or another, he broke the socket. Also, lechem mishritos, so you can't trust him. Chutz mecherishat v'katan. The Mishnah continues. Chereshat v'katan, you can't trust them on shchita, even if I'll check the knife and I'll give it to them. It's not the same as a mumer. You don't trust them on bedikas hasaken, but if you do the bedikas hasaken, you can trust them on the shchita. But the chereshat v'katan, even if you do the bedikas hasaken, I'm filled with the yavid nami loy, why shem ayashen, shem yidrus, and shem yachlidu. And then the last line in the Mishnah is, kuna sheshachtu, if acherim are watching, it's good. So the Gemara asked again the same question. Kuna sheshachtu ahei. Who is that referring to? The last line in the Mishnah. If he should say, only referring to Cherishot to the Katan, only, it certainly goes on Cherishot. If it only goes, so the Gemara asks, Alokai, that's what you were just talking about. The line before is Cherishot to the Katan. So it shouldn't say the Kulam Sheshachtu. Kulam sounds, these people, Cherishot to the Katan, plus the one who was mentioned earlier in the Mishnah. You should say, Bim Shachtu Meboyle. Elo, must be a Yisrael Mumer also. It goes on a Yisrael who's Mumer Latayavan. From the first line in the Mishnah, was talking about the Dina for him. So the Gemara says, why do you have to have someone watching him? Either Bodek Sakin, and I say, Lord, if you checked the Sakin, you gave it to him, you can have him Lachatkhila Shech. Why does it say someone has to watch from the beginning to the end? Ella must be the Lord Badak, we didn't check the knife. He didn't check the knife. See, the second, if the knife is here, live the kehashta, check the knife now. So what are you going to tell me? Vide, lay the second, and if the second is not available, he threw the knife out, you can't check it. So what does it help that someone was watching the way he checked it? We trust him that he checked it well. He's a strong mumar achon levelis letayavim. But we can't trust him on the bedikas of sakin. Kacherem oi moisa mai habi, dilma the sakin b'guma shochit. What good is that? So the Gemara says, that's a weak point in Rav Ashi's class. Kasha. Rav Ashi's shot doesn't fit in the last line. Why does it say the kulam sheshachtu? Really should say the im shachtu. So the same problem, the same sticky problem. The din that he said is a good din. But it doesn't seem to fit into the words of the Mishnah. See, the Mishnah must be referring to something else. So next week we'll have to continue. We're going to finally quote Rabina's pshat. Rabina's going to have a different pshat. There are going to be two versions of Rabina's pshat. So there are five Amaroim with six pshatim. The two versions of Ravina. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his Truvas a psak that he gave under the communists. Very interesting. Based on the pasuk in today's parsha. In the tefillin, we have Kadesh Vayoki V'yachus Shema V'Hayoyim Shema. We have the Dalit parshas in which the mitzvah of tefillin appears. In each one of those four parshas it appears. So, in Parshas Kadesh Likol Bechor, the Torah speaks about bringing the Korban Pesach every year, and then it says, you should wear tefillin. Then the last pasuk in that parsha, in that paragraph says, you should observe this mitzvah on the right time, what does it refer to? So does it refer to the Korban Pesach? Does it refer to the tefillin? The Gemara has a machlokes atanoim. One Tana says, "Shamata sachuka." Which chuka? One Tana says, "Bchukas haPesach akasa medaber." And miyamim yamima means annually, from year to year. Every year at Erev Pesach, you should bring Korban Pesach. The other Tana says, "No, Korban Pesach was the beginning. The pasuk immediately preceding pasuk Tes, Vayelochal Es Hayatzal Es Korban Bein Enecha." So then pasuk Yud goes on filling. It goes. B'chukas ha-tzillin ha-kosim ha-dama, not b'chukas ha-tesach, and yamim yamimah means daily. You should fulfill a mitzvah every day of the year. What's the difference whether it goes on tzillin, goes on korban pesach, between all the dinim ha-tzillin, and all the dinim ha-korban pesach? Mor says, no, if it refers to tzillin, b'shamata s'chukas b'chukas ha-tzillin, then we medak miyamim yamimah, only bayom v'lo balayla. You're not allowed to put on tzillin balayla, it's a din deraisa. And miyamim v'lo kol yamim, you don't like tefillin every day of the year. Shabbos and yantav, you don't like tefillin. Fine. And if you hold that it goes on chukas ha-pesach, shamat ha-chukas goes on chukas ha-pesach, So then you do like tefillin Shabbos and Yom. The Gemara says no, you don't like tefillin based on a different marker. It says you wear tefillin the Hoyle Chaliyos. Shabbos and Yom Tov is already an oath, so you don't need the oath of tefillin. So they all agree Shabbos and Yom Tov you don't wear tefillin. They just argue which pasuk did you learn in that part. But if we have balayla, that's a machlokes hatanoi. So one Tana holds a Tana who holds v'shamarta sechuka hazois goes on chukas hatfilin. It's a din deraisa. You're not allowed to wear tefillin balayla. But according to the Rov Harishayin and Paskin, the Rambam Paskin is like that. That tefillin v'shamarta sechuka hazois goes on tefillin, and you're not allowed to wear tefillin balayla. It's a din deraisa. But Rov Harishayin disagree with the Rambam, and they hold you're not allowed to wear tefillin balayla. It's only a din derabbanan. Because Laila is manshena, people normally go to sleep at night.
Sleep the tefillin.
And a person is going to fall asleep with the tefillin. People a lot of times pass gas in the middle of sleeping. People snore, they do all kinds of things they don't realize. So that's a desire into the tefillin. So you're not allowed to wear tefillin by Laila, midirabon, gzeri shem b'yishem b'hem, shem b'yafiach b'hem. Is there any difference, halacha l'maisa? The Moshe points out from the Shulchan Aruch, nafkamina is. What if he went to sleep for the night and he wakes up 4 o'clock in the morning under the communists and he's going to have to go to work, let's say, in the winter. The days are very short. He has to wake up before Alos HaShachar and he has to be on work before Alos HaShachar a whole day long and he can't wear tzul. The communists won't let him wear tzul. Would you say, he woke up for the day. He's already dressed. He's not going to fall asleep now. If you follow the Rambam, you're not allowed to wear tzul in. Minatar, it's a din, you're not allowed to wear tefillin balayla, period. No ifs and buts and ands, that's it. But if you say like Rov Harishayin, so the din, you're not allowed to wear tefillin balayla is midirabbanan before you went to sleep. But if you already woke up, you already had your sleep for the night, that's it. You're going to have to go to work, you're going to have to work all day long. So then, Mikra Adin, it would be permissible to wear tefillin. So the Shulchan Aruch says in such a situation, you should put up tefillin without a bracha. Then when it comes time to say the bracha, then you say the bracha. Here, they have to go to work. Under the time you have to go to work, they won't be able to say a bracha. So if you follow strictly what it says in Shulchan Aruch, you should tell the Balabatim, they should all wear tefillin without a bracha. So Moshe Feinstein writes, I'm going to tell the Balabatim, they should wear tefillin without a bracha every single day, 6 days a week. They're going to be mezalzel, and they're going to stop wearing the tefillin. You tell people to do a mitzvah without a bracha, they know right, there's something wrong over here. There's something fishy. So he says, like Paskin, Meikir Adin, they should wear tefillin with their bracha, because Rov Harishayin and Paskin against the Rambam. Rov Harishayin and Paskin, Shamatas Chukas goes on Chukas HaPesach, and tefillin balayla is only the Rabban, and the din only applies before you went to sleep. After you already had your good night's sleep and you woke up for the whole day, then there's no issue at all. So he Paskin, according to the Meikir Adin, sometimes the Rabbanim have to be Mekel. Not always Sefer Dik, always to be Machma and everything. If you're going to be machmed everything, you're going to turn a lot of people over. You're going to stop wearing tefillin. So Moshe says, under those circumstances, he felt compelled to tell the Balabatim, you should follow the Ikar Adin, that we don't pass like the Rambam.